This week on RSVNB Update, Halloween arrives with a new Halloween hub at Drainer Manor. Mini quests, potatoes, bones, and plague soup abound for a collection of spooky tokens. Earn Death's Scythe and other Halloween rewards, plus a ninja strike focused on Slayer and Bossing. This is RSVNB Update, episode 801, recorded Thursday, October 29th, 2020. The Spooky Muncher. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another episode of RSVNB Update. It is Halloween week in RuneScape, and you know, you guys are probably listening to this on Halloween or shortly thereafter. And you know, head on over to Death's House in Drainer Village and complete this year's Halloween event at the new Halloween Hub, amongst other things. But of course, this week we're going to talk about Halloween and the ninja strike that we got. That was quite a surprise, wasn't it, Tanis?
Yeah, I thought we knew there was one coming, but I thought it was going somewhere else. I didn't think it was going to be Slayer.
That's right. And joining us this week to talk about Halloween is Earth. He has been on the podcast many, many times before, longtime contributor. Welcome back.
Hello.
He runs the episodes when I go away.
Yeah, and those have all turned out spectacularly.
That's when we have fun.
Mm-hmm.
And Shane's the way.
Yeah. Yeah, I've turned it over to you guys twice already before, and it has turned out okay.
And that's a fair
assessment.
Anyway,
nonetheless, if you guys are joining us for the first time, you can find the show notes at update.rsbnb.com. I am Shane12088. Tanis is Tanis79, and Earth is Lord Earth in game. And you know, Halloween. I feel like there's always a high benchmark when it comes to Halloween events, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And no. And
yes.
No. Okay. Why do you feel
well,
and
because
no?
Because we don't... There's a high mark, but there's only a couple of them that have ever gotten close to that mark. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll talk about if this one does. I'm kind of on the fence, and I hope to reach a point where I can say definitively by the end of this one. And this is a hub-style Halloween event that we have had for the Summer Beach and we'll probably be getting for Christmas as well, something similar like this in terms of hub-style. And, you know, they said that they wanted to have a strong showing for Halloween, and that involved, of course, going back to Drainer Manor as one of the main Halloween areas in-game. And for me, the textbook Halloween event always goes back to, I think 2015 it was, where we had that community event inside Drainer Manor. I think that's when it was. And that's the one I always remember for Halloween. What's your guys' favorite Halloween standout event?
That's the high watermark for me.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the one.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this one has four mini quests associated with it. Four, believe it or not. I was quite surprised in seeing that. It took me about a half hour or so to run through them. I'll take you guys.
It's
45 minutes or so.
All right.
That was with me having to run back because I only grabbed four potatoes.
Okay. Yeah. And, you know, the mini quests this year are focused around death, famine, pestilence, and death's dog walker. Believe it or not, so that's a fun little one. But we'll get to that one in good time. The first one involves death, and what you need to do with that is you take his polarizing crystal. And the whole idea behind that one is to head to different areas and effectively cleanse them. You get a certain amount of runecrafting and divination XP for them. I think you had to go to the Cabbage Patch, Dwarven Mine, Barbarian Village, and the Lumbridge Swamp Well.
Yep.
And with that, you just go cleanse those areas, and then when you come back to death, you get 500 spooky tokens. That's a currency for this Halloween event, the Death's Hood cosmetic override, and the ability to run around and track fragmented souls in the courtyard of Draenor Manor.
Yeah.
How'd you feel about that one?
It could have been a little bigger. Could have been a little bigger.
Yeah, because it's basically a tiny divination wisp that you're following.
I had some trouble with it. It wasn't the one that I had the most trouble with.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Enough.
Yeah, but no, it could have been. It could have been bigger and maybe a little bit more of a pronounced sound because it had a little like wispy kind of sound to it, I think. But I would have liked to heard like more.
Yeah, no, I mean, for the rest of us, I think it was pretty easy to see. It was just a matter of, you know, staying close enough to it and clicking on it. Because that's what I found was the most annoying bit about how it just moved out of range from you.
Yeah, it had a weird... Yeah, I felt like I could click on it from too far away, but then I couldn't, like, run up. It didn't make me run up to it. Yeah. I just stood 3 miles away and was like, oh, can't do that.
Yeah. And it's worth noting that this is also, I feel, the most annoying one to do inside the courtyard because you're literally running a circle around the courtyard to try to catch up to this wisp.
It's kind of like trying to pet a cat. Like, it's a little bit further out of your way, you know.
Well, I think if cats like you, they're supposed to flock to you.
Kind of.
But they always want to be, like, just slightly at the end of your reach. Like,
yeah, well, that's a good analogy for this one. The next one was for famine, and the idea behind this one was that you had to go find a number of ghosts and talk to the ghosts around the Draenor Village area, and in doing so... what you would have to do is you would get the recipe for anti-blight, and you just...
Oh, but you needed the potato, Shane.
Oh, yeah, right. Sorry about that. This was the potato one. I got confused because there was potatoes in the other one, too.
There was potatoes everywhere. But, yeah, this one's got potatoes, too.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting because I remember when I was... harvesting the potatoes on this one, if you manage to keep within the raw and fresh potato plants for a certain period of time, you actually get a buff in terms of harvesting them, which is pretty good.
Yeah. Didn't he tell you that?
Yeah, he did.
Okay. You just seem kind of surprised by that.
No. I just think it's good that there's that mechanic to it that you can do it without paying attention to this, but if you pay attention to this, it will just take it that one step further.
Got it.
And then talking to the ghosts to make the anti-blight is just a matter of talking to them, noting down what they have to say about, I guess, their backstories, I guess we could say, and then following from that, you just do a little bit of swirl, mix, shake and mix kind of thing.
Yeah, shake and bake, and I helped.
Yeah, there you go. With a little swirl thrown in, right?
A little swirl.
Yeah.
A little swirl.
And this one, of course, unlocks a similar activity with the potatoes inside the courtyard. And I think this is the one I prefer doing the most inside the courtyard.
Well, this one has ghosts too, Shane.
Yeah.
Remember?
Right, it does. And I don't know. What do you think of that?
That's the activity I'm doing now.
Okay.
It's free herbler, so I mean, it's free herbler. So.
Oh, is that the XP you were getting from it?
Yeah.
So okay.
If you're doing the pestilence thing where you're picking potatoes and onions and cabbage, you throw the pot. Yeah.
Wait. We're talking about the famine one right now, though.
I don't see a famine.
Yeah, the famine one was just the potatoes. Pestilence was the cabbage, just onions, potatoes. And potatoes. Yeah.
That's a different horseman.
It was a different horseman. This one awards farming and woodcutting XP at the manor.
Where's it at the manor?
East side.
East. Okay. I got you.
And then the one you're doing is on the west.
Yeah, I'm on the west side.
Okay. And I mean, farming and woodcutting's nice, I think. And also with that, I mean, I don't need the farming XP. I don't plan on getting 200 million, but I think this is the easiest one to do just because you're sitting there and then you hand in the potatoes 100 at a time. You really don't need to move that much because on the one that you're talking about, which we'll get to in a bit, you actually have to move to wherever the horseman tells you to move. So
we got a multiplier on that one?
Yes, you do get a multiplier the longer you you sit.
Oh, on. I got to turn in my my produce here. Head over to the other side.
Yeah, and talk with famine and gather some potatoes. The more you know, eh?
The more you know, yeah.
And this is actually where I saw the most people at in doing this one.
Okay, yeah. I was thinking about the XP, you know, I need it. I'm like, oh, I'll take free any day. And then I was trying to think about if it was, you know, how many spooky coins I can make.
Right.
And then what to convert that into.
When you were doing the mini quest, you got 500 off this. And every time you hand in 100 potatoes, you will get 70 spooky tokens.
Love the name. Tokens.
No, it's spooky tokens.
I love it.
You get 500 per
mini quest. Sorry. Yeah.
Per mini quest. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know when you look at this, I think that this one, the one you were doing, is slightly better on the token front, but this one has less moving around. So.
Yeah, that's fair.
Let's move on to Pestilence then, and this is the one that is located west of the Drainer Lodestone by Maggie's caravan, and you're making a soup, as he says. Yes, but it's a soup. It's a soup.
Dude, we so missed an opportunity here. Come on, man. Come on.
You're right.
Jagex could have went in on this. Why is that not a bat? Why is it not a bat? It should have been a bat, man.
Oh, no.
We don't know it came from a bat.
Okay, Q, for what to come from a laboratory. Jeez.
We don't know that.
It still would have been funny, right?
It would have been. And I didn't catch that until you mentioned that now.
It would have been hilarious. I'm like, come on,
guys. You didn't catch that they had something about a plague during a global pandemic?
Well,
How'd you miss that one?
I got the plague part, but I didn't tie it to real life.
And they're like, no, it's just a soup. It's just a soup, and it'll be good. I'm like, oh, come on. Oh, some bat bones, something?
Yeah.
God, how did I miss that?
I really don't know.
You pick up the cabbages east of Falador Farm. The onions come from south of the Drainer Bank, and you get the potatoes north of Lumbridge. And then you bring all of those together and talk to and select both options for the three ghosts. And then with that, there's a bit of a riddle. And I have to be completely honest with you guys. When I was doing this riddle...
You had a hard time, didn't you?
I had no idea what I was going to say, but I got it on the first go.
Seriously? Oh my god.
Yeah.
Damn, dude. I tried to play this straight, and
that's what I thought I was doing too, and I was like,
it took forever.
Oh, I clicked this, and oh my god, it actually worked.
I'm like, this must reset every time you get it wrong, because... I don't know.
Well, it's standard for everybody. Apparently, the answer is Misty, Bungles, and Spook in that order.
Spoilers.
Ah, it's fine.
Spook.
And Spook loves to scare people, but he really hates jokes.
Wow, it's just like you.
Misty hates scaring people, but they love a good joke. Will you call me a spook?
I'm saying you enjoy terrifying people with your sneezes.
Yeah, that's
and you
true.
Don't like jokes because you don't get them.
I get good jokes. If they're good, I get them.
Disagree.
Bungles is a free spirit and loves scaring people and jokes.
Good for him.
And then
good old Bungles.
You talk to them, and then when they disappear, you give the answer to the riddle, and if it's correct, the ghost will disappear, and then you head back to Pestilence, and that's when you figure out that it's a plague soup.
Figure and, out.
Yeah.
Well, did you not see that one coming?
No,
I
didn't.
I like to think that Pestilence threw in a bat while we were gone.
All right, well... happened.
I think we could leave that there on that. Once again, 500 tokens. And with this one, when you're doing it at Drainer Manor, it's kind of like the Heffin agility course where you're told, or sorry, the Heffin agility poses. You got three ghosts clapping and they say potato, and then you have to go to the potatoes. Then they say cabbage, then you go to the cabbages. Onion, go to the onions. And then after that, you put them in the cauldron and away you go.
I go to the onion for my news.
Oh,
nice.
I don't like the onion, honestly.
I bet you.
I thought you just said that you enjoyed jokes, Shane.
Good jokes. Good jokes.
They are good jokes.
No, I don't like it. But anyways, you get 50 spooky tokens per each set of 25 potatoes, onions, and cabbages that are added to the soup. So that'd be 200 tokens if you add 100. So this is going to be the one I think you do if you're out for tokens and you don't mind moving around a bit.
Yeah, because, I mean, I don't think it's really taken all that long.
No, and I mean, it's not jumping around like every couple seconds. You got, you know, probably a good 15, 20 seconds before you got to move.
Yeah.
So I think that's fair. And I think this is also one of the most aromatic areas. And I mean, sorry, thematic. Aromatic? Boy, we can't smell
aromatic.
Anything.
Did we get some smell-o-vision?
Hello?
What the hell's going on here?
I mean, thematic in terms of just the environment setup and whatnot. And, you know, I'll just take a moment and comment on that because I think this is one of the most amazing environments they've ever done. And I see us saying this more and more often on the show, aren't we?
Really?
I think so. I think the Halloween atmosphere is pretty good.
I just love the whole free-to-play area.
Yeah, it looks really good.
Oh, yeah, it did get some... I'm happy that got love. Oh, of course it got love. Duh. That's smart. Good.
That's right?
Good. What?
Well... With the Steam launch and
got it.
People free to play, this is pretty smart.
And to come in on a Halloween event and see you know what is capable of this. And granted, you know, Drainer Manor has always been here and for a long time the actual houses look this way, but the courtyard has a new level of ambience to it for Halloween. I'd actually be pleased if they kept the courtyard this way and just removed all the pumpkins and whatnot when it was time to move on.
I'm just glad that the front doors still don't let you go back out.
Yes.
Yeah. And who forgot? This guy. I'm like, come on, what is going on? What can I go out? I'm like mad and looking for like, where's the bug report button? And I'm like,
go out the back, Tannis.
Duh. It just dawned on me. I'm like, how many times?
All right.
Duh.
And the reason you need to go inside there is for the Death's Dog Walker mini quest, where you need to find bones for Death's dog, and they're scattered throughout the house.
No, you've got to find the dog. You're using the bones as clues.
Oh, oops, sorry about that. Did you update this?
Yeah, I did. Shane?
I did.
Come on, man.
I did. I'm sorry about that. But there's bones scattered on each level of the house. And once you go in the front door, you can't come out the back. Or you can't come out the front. Aye, aye, aye.
You got to go in the back.
That's right.
Nice.
And then take the bones outside. And then following from that, you recover the dog. And there's actually a bit of a problem here after you get the bones, because you get this interesting cutscene, and I think it was a good cutscene. Did anybody else get startled with this cutscene?
Startled?
Well, startled? Where Muncher appears behind you.
Did that scare you?
Yeah, it was a little startling.
Nah, seriously?
Yeah. Was good. It was.
I thought it was cute.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Well, it accomplishes what it needed to do for Halloween.
For you?
Sure.
Apparently.
Sure. But you need to find dog treats after this. And to do this, you go to the little area outside by the dog bowl, and you're given this, what was it? This little spade, I guess
shovel.
It's called, or shovel. And you play this game of hot
for
and cold.
Digging.
Starts out ice cold, progresses to cold, then hot, and then so close, and then you find the doggy treat, and this mini quest complete. You're right. I think this one was a little bit charmful, I think. I mean, charming.
Charmful?
Yeah, I mean, it's charming. This reminded me of the Christmas quest with the Yetis. You know?
The snow imps?
No, it was like Yetis, I believe.
Oh, okay. I think that was like 2 years ago, probably.
Yeah, I can't remember. I think so. The name of it, but I don't know. That's kind of what it put me in the mind of. I felt it was a little quest heavy, but it's so hard for me. I mean, kind of, yeah, like, yeah, a little bit. I mean, it was fine, but. What made Death's House like so cool? It was like the people and like the draw being drawn in. I don't know what it was, but I mean, this was great for a quester. Like, I'm sure you was in your, you know, height of glory there, Shane.
Yeah. I mean,
I enjoyed the whole thing.
Yeah, it was really good. I wouldn't say one was more questy than the other, honestly.
Really?
No.
Wait, what do you mean? I don't follow what you mean.
You know, like how this okay, maybe it felt like I guess there was kind of quest there too, wasn't there?
Are you comparing this with, like, between themselves or years? That's what I'm
kind of between themselves. I'm just trying to think, like, something. I felt like something drew people to that I haven't been drawn to in the same way since, including this year. Like, I thought the rewards are pretty decent. I thought everything was good. I mean,
so what you're basically saying is when you compare this to, say, 2015, for example, you're not feeling the same draw.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the event, are we moving? Was that all of them?
Yeah, that was all of them.
Okay. I mean, the thing is, I did this a few minutes ago. I didn't, of course, come in, like, expecting something groundbreaking or something just to blow me away. It was exactly what I expected. It was just a fun little event that I could do. Take me, you know, under an hour. It's charming in a very RS way. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, it. If you're a quester, if you're into that, I think it's real good. I think it's good anyway. It's just, you know, another one, even though it's pretty infamous now. But when you look at Dimension of the Damned, right, that was a different kind of take on Halloween too, that I actually enjoyed probably more. So this felt very traditional to me.
So do you feel like they should take it up to one further level beyond this, or?
No, I think this was good for where they're at, like with the Steam launch, with all of that. I just hope, you know, I just think it's going to be great for the questers. I don't know if there's a lot in it for other people to like draw them in.
Well, you can buy mystery boxes for spooky tokens.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure out, if the if these ratios work out, because I'm seeing some traffic, but I'm not seeing like beach kind of traffic at this point.
Right.
So,
according to the wiki, picking potatoes for famine, swapping every 40 to 60 seconds as it does, is 3,850 tokens an hour.
Oh wow! Okay.
Doing the ingredients at the cauldron is 3,700 tokens an hour. But if you AFK that one, the plague, it goes down to 2,354, but the potatoes are only 1,394 AFK. And this is according to the wiki, so of course, you know, take this with a grain of salt. The wiki's normally pretty good on that. So if we just, you know, assume the full 3,850 per hour, you know, that'd be almost four mystery boxes an hour. Four big mystery boxes an hour. At least three. But that's not AFK. Apparently, if you AFK this, you go down to just lost the spot on the page. If you AFK the potatoes, you're down to 1,394 tokens an hour. If you do the plague stew, or soup rather, you do 2,354 tokens an hour. And the fragmented souls are 2,700 tokens an hour.
Oh, they can keep that one. I'm doing that. I don't care if it's working an hour.
No.
Can you imagine doing that for an hour?
No, absolutely not. They recommend using double surge with bladed diamond mobile.
Oh. I'm not doing that when I fight a boss. So, good luck.
Wait, we're still talking about the Halloween event.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, the fragmented souls. Yeah. Apparently, if you want to min max the fragmented souls, one, the little wisp that's running around the courtyard, they recommend using double surge, bladed dive, and the mobile perk.
Okay.
Seems a little much, but.
Let me just go drop. How much is it going to cost me to get all of that?
I don't know. Not that much.
2 billion?
No.
2 billion? Chippy.
I don't know. I mean, you can get bonus XP from that if you want. Tannis, because the medium stars are 500.
Well, that's 500 what I've been trying to work out. Yeah. That's what I've been trying to work out.
So that's seven stars an hour. I mean, that's pretty good for an event.
Right. Plus, I mean, I guess I'm bonus, but I was pulling like 65K urban hour and like 25.
That's not bad.
26,
that's not bad.
Cookie.
That's not bad
like,
at all.
When you put all that together, it's not too bad.
Especially when you factor in that farming is an option as well, as is wood cutting.
Yeah. This is definitely something I'll be, I need to get my all out here popping on, for sure.
Are you going to be using Surge and Bladed Dive?
Absolutely not. No. No. I don't, like I said, like I don't even use that if I was bossing. Like,
yeah. I don't know. I think that you're right that it might be worthwhile to do that for the medium stars. When you factor in all the other XP that you're going to get as well.
Well, and yeah, and if that ratio works out, then I mean it does make it. I mean it makes it a lot more worth it. A lot more worth it.
And for those wondering who aren't just after the bonus XP stars, you of course also get Death Scythe for 4,000 spooky tokens, War's Great Axe for 500, the Staff of Famine for 500, Pestilence's Bow for 500. You can also get Lucian's Staff. And these ones are of course reruns from the 2018 Halloween event, with the exception of Death Scythe.
Yeah, see, I had all those except for the, well, it's the Lucian and Death Scythe.
Yeah. You can also get rings to transform you into War, Death, Famine, or Pestilence. If you're into that kind of thing.
Are they standing still?
Yeah.
It's a bummer.
You know, it's actually good that they're rerunning all of these ones, because I actually wasn't able to take part in this to the extent I wanted to back in 2018, because I wasn't here for that. They launched this in RuneFest week, believe it or not, the week after RuneFest. Oh. Yeah. So I missed a chunk of it. But I don't know. I think overall it's a pretty good offering in terms of the XP and the stars that you could pull out of this, or even, you know, if you just want the direct XP, you can get medium lamps for it too. It's going to be double the price, but I don't even know if that would be worth it then. 3 medium lamps an hour.
You know, like, I'm not a... No. If you're going to lamp it, you got to really hate doing this.
Yeah.
I'm not really a lamp person. Bonus XP, yeah, give it to me all day long, but to lamp it, I gotta really hate something.
All right, fair enough. I don't think there's anything else left to talk about on Halloween here. I guess one final question before we move on. You guys see yourself going back after doing the mini quests? I mean, Tan is you're out, but okay. I'm assuming
I got everything I wanted.
And which was that?
The Lucian staff, and then one other thing. I can't remember what it was. And then I just bought something else so I would, you know, zero it out.
All right. You didn't get Death Scythe?
That was the 4,000 one, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Nah.
You going to be using the Muncher Pet since you're partial to puppies?
Okay, cool. I do have a question about that. I have a legendary pet. Can I override it?
No.
Oh, I wish. Right in. I've been asking for it for years.
Well, Jagex, if you're listening, consider this my formal request to be able to do that.
I think we'd all like that, honestly.
Yeah, I would love it.
But I mean, I get why they can't, because then they lose free marketing for legendary pets.
Yeah, so. And I think the downside is that, I don't know, I just don't think legendary pets are that amazing visually.
Well, they're pretty functionality. Obnoxious. You buy them for what they do. This is one of the rare cases you buy it for what it does.
Yeah,
yeah. True. I mean, I actually bought one.
Yeah. I got one for free from Premier Club 2015.
Yeah. I mean, I bought it because also I'm like, you know, I've played this game so much, I'm still paying $5 a month for membership. What's it up to now?
$10. $9.99.
Yeah, so I was like, you know what? I think I can
yeah.
give them a few dollars. And I think they've earned
it. And then there's those of us who bought the Premier Club just for Yak Tracks, like me.
Nerd.
Yeah. When in reality, when you look at it, each Yak Track, you have four in a year. Each one needs two bonds. That's eight bonds. Could have spent an extra $40 and just did that, which I might do next year. So we'll see. Because we're going to have that Premier Club decision kicking around into Montanus, aren't we?
Yeah. I'm hoping that mine... Sometimes I get a ride from my gambling buddy.
Okay. So, oh, that know. Makes sense.
Yeah, well, I mean, once you have all the money in the world, you just go down there to Duel Arena, you double your money all over again. So,
don't fall for any doubling money scams.
No, you might lose your money, but I mean, for the most part.
Yeah. And then, of course, you can buy with bonds. They didn't advertise that last year, but you actually were able to buy it with bonds still.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm saying, you know. I mean, the PK game, it's live and well. It's just mixed up with the gambling game.
Oh, boy. All right. Let's move on to the patch notes then this week, since Halloween is done. Well, I mean, Halloween's not done, but of course the Halloween discussion is done. That was a bit of a rookie mistake there for anybody who has noticed it. There were two of them in that last paragraph that I spoke, for anybody who pays attention to that kind of thing. But what?
Spooky. Nothing. Just keep going.
All right. Ninja Strike 13, fitting. We have the number 13 coming in with Halloween. Unlucky 13, geared towards Slayer and the personal Slayer dungeon. Slayer Masters will now have the ability to teach you to use the Slayer Masters Ouija board for 1,000 Slayer points.
What?
Oh, is that what it says?
Yeah.
My reader has called it every weirdo thing under the sun. I had no idea it was Ouija board. Okay, cool.
What did they call it?
Like Kawaii and just like all kinds of different things. And I'm like, I don't know what that is. But I knew what it did. I knew where it was. Didn't know what it was called. Okay, that makes sense then.
Incredible. Ouija board.
And what this does is this provides a GUI graphical user interface to allow you to rearrange your personal Slayer dungeon, because previously it was just done with chat boxes, and I think this is something people wanted for a long, long time when it came to this dungeon in Menaphos. Keep in mind you can store up to 15 creatures in there. Small ones go in the southeast chamber. Do people still use this?
Yeah.
Okay.
What? You don't use it?
I don't do Slayer, so I don't know.
Oh, well, that's a problem there, Shane.
Yeah, I'm 103 Slayer.
Well, I mean, it's respectable, but...
Yeah.
Get on in there. It's a legit 120 now.
And I have not completed the full Slayer helmet.
Wow. You really don't do Slayer.
No, I don't. What do you guys put in... I mean, I don't even know if you, Earth, have gone down to the Slayer dungeon... But
well, you can change it out. What do you need?
The Abyssal Demons.
Okay. That's fair. What about you, Tanis?
So if I'm, like when I was training 120, I'm going Dark Beast, Abyssal Demons, maybe Gargoyles. Something that I can do on a daily helmet, like quick.
Right.
And repetitive.
Okay.
Money wise, though, like I will trade out like the bigger room and put in Chaos Giants for you can get talismans, which are great for double XP and summoning. So you get earth and fire talismans. You also get shit ton of herbs. It's pretty AFK. You can also do muspas. You make decent money with those. Spiritual. Mages.
Yeah, mages have always been good.
Spiritual mages is another good one for Slayer Dungeon. Gemstone dragons, you can't beat. Like, especially if you're training Slayer, those things are incredible. If you get some,
Aren't Hydrix the best Slayer XP in the game?
Oh yeah, Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of uses, you know, like, say you're doing binding contracts, you might want to pop some water fiends in there.
Oh, that's a really good idea.
I've done Dagon off just because I didn't want to spend money on cannonballs, and did it for, after familiarization and do my, charms and then use a charming potion and just rack in crimsons, you know, for a solid hour or two. There's a lot of stuff, man, you can do with it.
Okay. That's good. Good to hear. Also, monsters with variants will now consistently spawn as those variants in the Personal Slayer dungeon. That wasn't happening before.
That's really cool because...
Like what?
So, like, say you tried to put in a spiritual mage, it might spawn, like, spiritual warrior. But you wanted a mage.
Oh.
It would just be kind of like, yeah. So you didn't know which ones you were getting, necessarily. Like, if there was a variant. So, I think that's cool.
This includes bears, blue dragons, cave crawlers, banshees, crawling hands, infernal mages, aberrant specters, kuros, desert lizards, zygomites, sukas, spiritual warriors, rangers and mages, jadinkos and tormented demons. But there's a caveat.
There's really only a few on there that you do.
Yeah, the caveat is that monsters placed prior to today will continue to spawn as their random variants.
Yeah, you're gonna take them out.
You're gonna have to put them back in.
Yeah. Well, that's not a big deal.
I think that's worth it for 1,000 points.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. On the bossing front, you can now unlock permanent access to Nex without the usual item requirements from Ashalot Rays. This costs one set of ancient ceremonial robes and 10 million coins, plus a frozen key. You'll also get an achievement for doing this.
Dude, I've heard people that do Nex are just like, they're going off about this. They're all excited.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I believe it.
Like, this is like early Christmas for them.
Yeah, it's one of the... As I understand it, one of the best money makers if you can do it effectively.
Yeah, well, it's also been like requested forever, I guess.
Yeah,
it goes back pretty far, but yeah, it's nice that it came in. And I like to see these convenience changes, you know, where I mean, I guess that's what we're really coming to expect and know as Ninja Strikes, right? These
convenience and quality of life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also, entering a boss instance without a selectable respawn speed, such as Rise of the Six or the QBD, will no longer overwrite the respawn speed setting for other boss instances.
Nice.
Yeah, that's good. I didn't know that was happening. That'd probably be frustrating.
Yeah.
Especially if you go through just spacebar and click and you get in there and you're like, why is it not spawning? Come on.
Now, here's a big one.
You're on regular.
An option has been added to the item drops and loot system menu, which will allow the players to collect loot via the loot inventory when only a single item is on the floor. This was previously available on mobile devices, but not on the PC client.
Thank God.
People are excited about this. Like, why is it good? Like, I didn't understand. Like, what it did.
It basically just allows you to click the one item and then press the space bar to pick it up.
Yep.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. So it's going to be an accessibility change even for you.
Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, that's what I was wondering. I'm like, I feel like this is something I'm missing here, and I didn't know. Like, okay, that makes sense now.
And with this, the naming and descriptions of the looting options have been adjusted for clarity following the above changes. And that's all we got for the Slayer and Bossing Ninja Strike. I think this is one of the more thin Ninja Strikes that we've had, right?
It depends on how much your dungeon... I mean, think about it, man. You can now, when you put in a a variant of a Moospa, you can make sure that it's not switching styles on you constantly. Like, you're not going to be... You know what I mean? Like, this could be good.
Yeah, you're right.
I think it's pretty consequential, even though it looks small. But then again, maybe I'm just partial to Slayer. You know, I mean, it has been one of my favorite skills from...
Yeah, and, you know, after forever. This Halloween event is done, and there's going to be a few days between... when Yak Track is down and the double XP live event starting, I might move away from archaeology and, you know, head down the Slayer dungeon.
There you go.
Because this is, when you think about it, I really haven't stopped archaeology since it came out.
Yeah.
With the exception of Yak Track.
I did do Yak Track, yeah.
Yeah. We'll talk about that later and what have we been doing. Yeah. But moving on to the other patch notes, a couple of changes for the Orthon dig sites. Sherrigan will now hint at how to unlock the bait and switch relic, which of course is the one that allows you to catch cooked fish, which is actually pretty powerful. Should we say how it's done on here, or should we leave that as an exercise to the listeners?
I think we should leave it to the listeners.
Yeah, okay.
All right. I'll just give one hint. It involves Bob the Cat.
It involves what?
Bob the Cat. That's what we'll say. Artifacts from Desperate Measures will no longer appear when screening soil. Because, of course, when you screen soil, there's a chance to get one of the lower-level artifacts from that soil type. Anachronia resource packs can now be banked, including the ones received as a reward from Orthon Collections. I was not anticipating this.
What does this mean?
It means you can complete certain collections from the Orthon dig site, and then you get these boxes that you can pick and choose whatever Anachronia resources you want for the base camp.
Okay.
And previously you weren't able to bank them, but now you can effectively just store all these up.
Oh, I see. And then you can have a billion of whatever resource just saved, right?
Yeah. Because
above the max.
Right. And I think the reason that this one needed to be put in is because so many people like myself have completed pretty much all of the base camp except me, maybe one thing on there, and our resources are max. So getting these resource packs when we completed these collections really made no sense to us, and we kind of had to destroy them.
Valid.
So
yeah,
that's why that makes sense. The restoration interface will now show Dragonkin artifacts sorted by level rather than alphabetically. The Spirit Attraction Potion now works with Menaphos Carpet Dust and Manifested Knowledge. Boy, we're just adding value to that potion, aren't we, Tanis?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if that's enough to make people use this.
What does this do?
It's a potion that will allow you to automatically collect all your Seren Spirits, Fire Spirits, Divine Spirits and whatnot. But the catch is that to make the potion, it needs Onyx Bolt Tips and Crushed Dragonstone as some of its constituent parts.
Expensive.
Yeah. And each dose only lasts for 6 minutes.
Expensive.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, we were trying to figure out if anybody was going to use this, and I haven't heard from anybody if anybody's going to use it, so.
They're going to have to increase the length of it, dude. There's just no way. Like, it's not long enough. It's just not long enough.
Yeah. And I just can't get over the expense.
Yeah, it's awful expensive.
I mean, the Time Word tincture is one thing, but when you go down further down the path, Onyx Bolt Tips and Crushed Dragonstone. So, I don't know. And finally, the Holy Groverload can now be crafted with a Holy Overload, an aggression potion, and spider venom. Yeah, I finally got it after all these weeks of trying to say it. So this is just another way of crafting it, because previously you would go from the other side and just add the constituent parts to it and then make the Holy Groverload potion. But now you can take a Holy Overload and add on to it, so to speak. So that's good. All right. Here's one that's going to foretell the future in my books. MTX emotes can now be purchased directly from the emotes interface. This tells me that at some point in the future, in the not-too-distant future, we're going to get some extra emotes that can be purchasable.
Yay!
That's what this one tells me.
When we had the start of that with the loyalty shop, right? There was emotes.
But then it just stopped.
Yeah.
Trader Vic's conversion rate for Herb Lore is now the same at both level 99 and level 120. Of course, people are going to need their Vic the Traders for Double XP Live coming up soon. The quest journal and world map summary that appears when accepting the Troll Warzone quests when the guidance system is enabled now displays the intended text and icons. And the Steam login now includes a link to a support article for linked accounts. And in this article, it tells you how to unlink your Steam account if that's something you want to do.
Notice, too, if you're playing through the Steam thing and you go to, like, buy a bond or something, you buy it through Steam. Like, it goes...
Oh, really?
Yeah, it goes through their system.
Interesting. I didn't catch that. Is that?
I noticed it today.
Oh wow, that's actually pretty neat. Now that you mention it. Continuing on, your character will no longer climb the stairs sideways in the house beside the courthouse in Sears Village.
Aww.
Oh, these fun little things are so weird. Unfinished potions that can be finished into multiple other potions will now default to the last mixed potion. That's nice. Good. Especially with double XP coming up. Using a 3-dose super runecrafting potion of the same dose no longer opens the power burst potion's interface. Huh. Interesting. That's a bit of a weird one. But that's all I got for the patch notes this week. And I say that's all, but there's actually quite a bit in there, wasn't there?
Small, but they're mighty.
Small and mighty. That's right. I think we can move on to tech news at this point in time. The only other thing I'll mention is that this was teased this week on a live stream, and we'll have more details on it next week. But launching next week, the entire back end of the achievement system has been rewritten to make it easier to add new achievements and decrease the processing speed.
Nice.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, so that's what we got to look forward to next week. And
but don't forget Shane.
What?
We can't forget our supporters.
Yeah, we're gonna
leave them in the cold, are
no,
you?
No, of course
like, you're
not.
You're just gonna drive away without leave them without. No,
it's coming, man. Can't just toss them out into the cold.
I got two things to say before that. Action bars, all the extra action bars that were previously purchasable are now unlocked for everyone. And next week, we'll be looking at the lore of the Kuridet dig site and wrapping up the core base archaeology lore with the exception of Orthyn. So that's going to be a fun episode next week with Sirion and Diana. And, you know, we really have saved the best for last on that one. So much weird stuff going on there at Kuridet and around the rest of the dig sites after you get Guildmaster. But what am I talking about? That's for next week's podcast. In the meantime, I'd like to thank our Patreon supporters for this episode. This week, I'd like to thank Andrew C., Brock H., Cameron, Christian S., Danny W., Diana, Duramax, Jade Gizmo, JW, Jason S, Joe M, John P, Keski, Kyle, Mr. Ling, Nora, Rastafa, Ricky A, Samantha R, Soupfinder, Stob Eve, The Naked Captain, The Lion, Tom V, and Zant. Thank you all of you for your support. It truly does mean the world to us, and it enables us to do what we do here at RSBNB Update, including our monthly bits, which is well into production. We're going to be talking about what a potential redesigned agility skill would look like. We're going to ship that next week, next Friday, as you guys are hearing that. So that should be an interesting one because, you know, agility is just in game, but you really have to ask the question, what is it useful for? And we're going to answer that and talk about what it could look like if it received the mining and smithing treatment. We also, of course, have the round table, which we'll be doing on Double XP Live in November. We have Inside Update, which is our quick little look at something about the production of RSBNB Update, a little behind-the-scenes post, if you will. That'll go live with the monthly bit next week. And, of course, we have Movie Night, which a poll will be going up for very soon. We'll be polling the category on that in terms of what movies we should put up for the next month. And, you know, last month was Hunger Games, which was pretty good. You know, we have a really impressive selection that we can put forward on that. So look forward to that. And, you know, this, of course, wouldn't be possible without you guys. So everybody who's a Patreon supporter, pat yourself on the back. Thank you so much. And we do have those two extra tiers that we are, of course, aiming for. Should we reach $200 a month in contributions, we'll launch a line of RSBNB Update merchandise, including t-shirts, mugs, stickers, and other items that you have the option to purchase as a way of supporting the podcast. And if anybody ever wants us to experience pain, that'll be at the $500 a month range with something called Hot Ones, which I'll let Tanis explain.
So what exactly is a Hot One? Yeah, well, it's a show on YouTube where you come in, celebrities and stuff, and they eat hot wings and answer questions. And as questions get tougher, the wings get hotter. And many celebrities don't make it through, and me and Shane are going to subject ourselves to that, which for some reason probably isn't going to bother him. I am going to have an EpiPen next to me to make sure my throat doesn't close because it's going to be crazy. But it sounds like fun, and a little pain is the least I can do for this awesome, supportive audience that we have here. So, yeah, that'll be Hot Ones. Hey, maybe we can even talk Earth into to stop by and have a wing with us, huh?
No.
No?
He doesn't do spicy.
I don't either, Shane.
I am white. I can't do spicy.
I can't do pepper.
Pepper is too much for me.
I don't even put pepper on stuff.
Wow, you guys. All right. Well, now I'm eager.
Now you're eager. Yeah, it's going to be rough.
If you want to sign up and gain access to the entire back catalog of monthly bits, or just vote in the movie polls or the monthly bit polls, or even just come to Movie Night or the Round Table, you can do all that and more for as little as a dollar a month. We also have a $3 a month tier where you can get special mention on the podcast at the start of the month and access to high-quality stereo versions of the show. And for $5 a month, you'll get a shout-out each and every week on the podcast and gain exclusive access to the outtakes that we use for the clip show at the end of the year. And you can find out more about this at patreon.com/RSBNB. Thanks so much, everyone. All right. And yeah, I see your message in chat about that name, and I'm not going to say that name because amazing that hasn't been caught by the filter yet.
What's wrong with it, Shane? I don't
understand.
Well, the name is, and I guess I could say it since it's in game, it's Lady Stinky WAP. I guess that stands for Stinky Wireless Access Point? Or, as somebody on the internet once said, Stinky Worship and Prayer.
Worship and Prayer.
Oh, my God.
But anyways, let's move on to tech news right now. EA has taken on a fine for it's loot boxes in the FIFA video game series.
The Netherlands, so they only had to piss off the entire world to have some repercussions.
The Netherlands Gambling Authority imposed an administrative order subject to a penalty of 5 million euros on EA for violating the Gambling Act through its packs in the FIFA video game. And this is, of course, loot boxes. And
I wonder if that'll teach him or if that's just going to be the price of doing business.
I don't know. And we've been waiting to see when something like this would come up because, you know, these are chance boxes and you can get apparently football players that could improve the performance of your team or your player character in that. And because of this is that because of the value associated with it, this constitutes a violation of the Dutch Gambling Act. And you can only have a chance prize or premium to be won if a relevant license has been granted, and they didn't have that. And when it comes down to it, at the end of the day, it's like you said, 5 million euros, is that going to be the price of doing business, or is this going to be the mark of a sea change here?
Yeah, that's the question.
And, you know, I think this is going to be, this is something I feel that's a nagging issue, but it's so important that, you know, I don't think there's many video game developers out there who have attacked this head on.
No.
And there needs to be transparency around. And, you know, remember when we had Maude Warden on the show, I asked him this question. He said that he doesn't want it to be a loot box. But I think one of the questions that comes up for us on RuneScape is that, you know, you're doing these treasure hunter experiments, but when are we going to figure it out, right? About whether or not we're going to have that blind chance and how long is that going to take. And obviously you can't just turn one revenue stream off without having a replacement for it. But this is some big shenanigans for EA, right?
What was that, Shane?
I said big shenanigans for EA because, you know, they are effectively getting fined with this law. But at the same time, you have to ask, are there really going to be any repercussions from it? And that's why I call shenanigans on that.
Shenanigans. What's that place with all the goofy shit on the wall? What? No. Not a Super Trooper?
No.
Come on.
I laugh.
Oh, come on, Shane. You're what killing us, dude. I don't know. Did he have his head in the sand? Like, did he just miss 20 years of
the tar sands?
All right. Back on FIFA.
All right.
If a player feels they've been wronged, where can they report it? And they say players who wish to file a complaint can contact the game's providers. And the game's providers are the parties that decided to include a gambling game within a game, thereby breaking the law. So the KSA is pointing this out to EA, and EA is therefore responsible for this. But, and this is the kicker, this says at the end, how exactly it accomplished this is at their discretion, as in compensating players who feel they've been wronged. So it's up to EA at the end of the day, Tannis.
Well, so no. Then.
So then nothing's going to happen from this.
Nothing's going to happen. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, those folks in the EU like to stick together, so maybe something will come from this. Next piece of tech news, Zoom launches end-to-end encryption for free meetings, with a certain number of caveats. And of course, Zoom is the service that caught on like wildfire with everybody working from home and needing to do video conferences. And initially, they said that they weren't going to do free encryption for free users, but you would have had to have paid for that, but they have since backtracked with this. But the number of caveats with this are a little bit extreme here, because Users on an encrypted they're out there. Users on an encrypted call won't be able to use cloud recording, live transcription, meeting reaction features, and participants won't be able to join the call by phone or use one-to-one private chat. And any free account that wants to use end-to-end encryption will have to verify a phone number and add billing information, which is necessary, they say, to prevent abuse.
So you think it's a coincidence that this came out a week after the internet got tubined?
I don't know. Yeah. Encryption wouldn't have prevented that.
Mm-mm.
But I'm
surprised this wasn't in place. I actually didn't realize that.
Yeah, I mean, they have had many security issues in the beginning with this, to the point where I wouldn't even have used the app. But I think they've made some pretty good progress towards rectifying them and being transparent about them. That if you asked me to use it now, I'd feel okay with it.
They were absolutely in the right place at the right time.
Yes, absolutely. And that's why I think they were kind of caught off guard by this, and why they had all those issues, is because they effectively had to grow with everyone else who was doing this kind of thing at the start.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't even on my radar.
Nope.
Working at a school, like, when we went online, it was asked what to do, and it's like, Skype?
No, we want Zoom!
And then someone said Zoom, and it's like, what?
Yeah, whenever people were talking about that, I thought they were talking about Zoomers, Generation Z.
Well, that's just foolish.
Generation Z. Well, Zed's dead, baby. Zed's dead.
And I mean, when you look at it now, I mean, you can call anybody who uses Zoom a Zoomer.
You know I can disconnect you, right?
But you wouldn't do that because this is my podcast. Oh, he did. All right. We'll prevent that from happening. There we go. We're back.
Oh, no.
The joking has begun. But, you know, any thoughts on this?
What did you think was going to happen there after you said that?
I didn't expect you to actually try.
Try? I did it.
It's like the golden rule of the internet, shit.
What? Don't antagonize Earth?
Well, yeah.
That's probably one rule, yeah. But whatever you say you don't want to happen, it's definitely going to happen. Someone is going to do their best to make it happen.
Yeah,
for
that's
you.
True. Mm-hmm. That's true. Anyways, I think Zoom is making good progress, and it's good that it's available for free, because I think end-to-end encryption is probably a feature that many people want in their communications. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, why wouldn't you want it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Although, is it going to be real encryption, or can anytime anybody
we need to
check something? Okay.
Yeah, I haven't looked into the docs of exactly how this is done technologically, but, you know, based on the lingo that they've used, I think that they probably have got it done in a bulletproof fashion. I can check in on that and provide more information next week if I can get access to the white paper on their design that they used on this. So, next piece of tech news, NASA's SOFIA telescope has discovered water on the sunlit side of the moon. And the SOFIA telescope, for those who don't know, is actually a really interesting piece of technology put together by NASA. What it is it is a telescope that flies through the air on a modified Boeing 747-200, and the side of the plane opens up, and they can fly into the night. And because they can fly upwards of an altitude of 40,000 feet, they can actually defeat most of the Earth's atmosphere without actually going into space to take their observations, which is a really interesting thing to do. So the topic of Sophia is something that you might want to look into on your own time, but nonetheless, this is a pretty big deal that water has been found on the sunlit side of the moon, because what this means is that there might be more water on the moon than was initially thought, and it was thought that previously it would be only limited to cold and shadowy areas. And you're wondering, how did they do this? Well, they detected actual water molecules in one of the craters, which is the Clavius crater, which is one of the largest craters visible from the Earth. It's on the southern hemisphere of the moon. And what they were able to do with this is they were able to discover water concentrations of 100 to 412 parts per million, which is equivalent, they say, to a 12-ounce bottle of water trapped in a cubic meter of soil spread across the surface.
Nice.
And, you know, when it comes down to it at the end of the day, this doesn't mean it's snowing on the moon. What this likely means is that when the moon was formed, there were chunks of ice, or, depending if you think the moon is made of cheese on the moon, that were deposited there either by asteroid or when the moon formed, which is thought it was formed when a Mars-sized protoplanetoid collided with the Earth billions of years ago.
I don't know, like Triton, something like that. Not Triton.
No. I don't know what it was called. And of course, we don't know that this happened because nobody was there, but nonetheless, it's all theory-based at this point. And this is important because what they want to do with this is say that, was there ever life on the moon? Because to have life somewhere, you're going to need water. And because of that, this is all important for the science as it goes forward when the Artemis program launches, when they say and they're aiming to send the next people to the moon in 2024 and establish a base there by the end of the decade. So this is the kind of science that they'll be doing.
So last week we're talking about putting 4G on the moon. Now there's water.
Yeah. That's right.
Coincidence.
Interesting.
See, things are just lining up to put humans back in space. And
everything's coming up, Milhouse.
Yeah, and, you know, with this, there's also a good amount of private enterprise now done with this. It's not all government-funded as it was in the past, which brings certain efficiencies forward as well. So I think space exploration at this point, especially when it comes to looking at the moon, is in a really good spot. So
it's definitely long overdue. We need to get some kind of a missile defense going.
What?
Something. Because, dude, I mean, like, that's
okay,
the next
Ronnie
thing, right?
Reagan.
That's the next thing to happen. We need, like, we don't need missiles for each other. We need it for those big freaking asteroids out there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. So you want to reenact Armageddon, then, is what you're saying. The movie.
Well, they just didn't do it right. Yeah.
Well, nonetheless, there's a great amount of scientific information that came from this study, and they actually have some data associated with which you can find on the NASA website, which is linked in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com. And this is actually a really important discovery on here because they didn't know if the Sophia telescope would actually be able to do this when they started off. So the fact it was a success speaks volumes because they didn't even know if it was going to work. For this, because this is a telescope that's initially calibrated for looking at stars, not the moon. So, pretty big deal all across the board. But that's tech news for the week, and I think this is the tech news story this week that was definitely the most interesting for me.
Yeah, this is one I actually heard and thought about.
All right. Well, let's move on. Before we do that, I'll just give a shout-out that we do have a Skill of the Month contest running in November, two of them. Starting on November 5th, we're running a fishing contest, which will run until the 15th of November. And then following that, we're going to run an archaeology contest, which I think is going to be pretty interesting because we haven't run one with double XP being involved, nor have we run one without a huge number of people looking at archaeology. So it'll be fun to look at archaeology again. And I think fishing is a pretty good double XP skilling contest. So we'll definitely be talking all about that one. So any plans to enter, either of you, for fishing?
Unlikely.
Yeah, I can't do fishing on double XP. I don't think anyway. Yeah, no.
All right, fair enough. Well, let's move on to achievements then. Earth, you want to start us off?
I thought I was getting the last five.
Oh, you are getting the last five. Sorry about that. Starting off then, we have Arendelle 20 with 99 archaeology on October 28th. Iskatu with 99 archaeology as well on the 28th. Tanis, you got 99 archaeology as well on the 28th. Did you guys all plan this out together?
Woo! Better late than never. Nope.
And then we have Final Primal with 99 ranged on the 27th and Potato with 99 cooking on the 27th.
Hey, then we have spooky skills with 99 magic on second. We have thieves with 120 magic on October 27th. We have dog safe FTW, dog says FTW, 99 fishing on October 25th, and X. Zerdomus, with 99 smithing on October 25th.
Nicely done.
And then we have Mike Strike 3, who got 99 crafting on October 24th. Freaky Sky, 99 Slayer, October 23rd. Keski, 99 archaeology, October 23rd. Black Mexican, 120 Slayer, and 120 Invention on the 22nd.
Nice. All right. I believe you have a pick of the week for us, Earth.
Tanis does.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
So, you know, last week, or was it last week, Shane, when we had movie night and watched Hunger Games?
Yeah.
You ever wonder, like, what was President Snow like beforehand?
Sure.
Like, was he always evil? Is he just, like, a horrible, you know, person? How did this happen? Like, how did this become a thing? You know, how did this, like, crazy world become a thing? And there was a book that is the pick of the week called The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. And it takes place right at the end of the war. It's about 10 years after the war in Pan Am, and it follows a young President Snow who's like maybe 16, 17, somewhere around that age, and you kind of see how the games develop. I thought it was a really good read. First time going through it, I was like, whoa, like, did it really just end like that? And I went back and read it, and I'm like, okay, I like that, you know. And then I went back and read it again. I'm like, yeah, okay, this is cool. So it was one of those kind of books, you know.
All right. So is this a prequel?
Yeah, it's a prequel.
Okay. And, you know, for anybody who wasn't here for it, it's actually, I think that universe is going to be a really interesting one to explore, because you said you read the books before seeing the movie, right?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. And then watching the movie night, then I immediately rented the next three.
Nice.
Because, and I was right. Jennifer Lawrence does get even better. That's the movies go on. So that was cool. And then I'm like, wait, I heard about this prequel. So I'm like, I'm going to check it out. And yeah, it was really good.
Did Suzanne Collins write? She wrote that one too, I assume.
Yes, I believe so.
As an addendum to this, her Gregor the Overlander series is also phenomenal. I think it's far better than the Hunger Games.
Gregor yeah. the Overlander?
I think it's Overlander.
Yeah, that's what it's called.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the same author.
I know.
I'm just double checking it for Tannis.
No, it's the same author. I couldn't remember if it's Overlander or something very similar to that. But
no, that's going on the wish list. We'll pop that in there too. Because I mean, she seems like a decent author that I like. And you know, at first when I was reading this prequel, you keep thinking that you know where it's going to go. You keep thinking, well, surely the scenario is going to happen. And I don't. It's a good book, man. It's a good book.
All right, sounds good.
Yeah, I want to spoil it, you know.
All right, good enough. What you been up to, Earth?
Oh Lord, just working.
Things are going well. I mean, when was I last on the show?
This summer.
This summer? All right. Well, we are still going in person. Going strong. Things have gone fantastic.
That's good.
Yeah, so I've been pleasantly surprised that the school is still in person. But
wonderful.
Made it through the first quarter.
The last time you were on was that episode, The Pudding's in the Detail.
My God. What date was that?
August 7th.
How in the world did you manage to book me that week?
I don't know.
Because I was dead then. Wow, okay. Well, things are going great. We launched, I guess I was launching Canvas at that time.
Yeah.
We did that successfully, so.
Which is a learning software for anybody who's wondering.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, things are good?
Wonderful. How about you, Tannis?
Archaeology, man. I mean, yeah,
okay.
That was it. And then I was really seriously thinking about trying to catch you and beat you to 120. Then I saw your 3x my XP right now. So I'm hoping I can lure you into a false sense of security. And
that
back.
I have about 60 times the cash on hand, too.
Well, you might forget to spend it, though. You know, I mean, you never know. Like, it's the same guy that, like, you could have maxed, like, 5 years ago, you never did.
I could have also got 200 million farming XP all that time ago too.
Yes, I mean, you never know about Shane. He's a weird duck. So I mean, you never know. I might have a chance.
All right, sounds good. Any double XP plans, or should we save that for next week?
Man, I don't know. I'm probably gonna see what this archaeology is like with this added precision. I mean, I'll be doing a lot of stuff with Junior. You know, I'd probably do some divination with him. I want to do archaeology because I just now got my professor, and, you know, 99. So, like, I'm just now checking out all those, like, precision upgrades and stuff like that right now.
Yeah, have you got Guildmaster yet?
No, I haven't even looked to see what that's going to be. I'm sure I got a lot more mysteries to do. Like, I'm in this spot where I can't do any more,
right?
Like, collections and stuff like that. Like, but I need to do more for Guildmaster and all that.
Okay. All right. As for me, I have finished Yak Track. I didn't actually interesting experiment for Task 50. For me, it was restore 47 artifacts, or do the playtime one. I forget what the playtime number was, but I finished the playtime one by the time I was, you know, a third of the way through the restoring the artifacts one, because I'm not buying my materials, so it takes a little while longer on that. But I mean, it was nice to see that for task 50, there was actually one that, you know, you could just play through, and you didn't have this huge wall in front of you. But Yak Track's done, so that's good, and kind of, I guess that means we're on a free path until double XP arrives next week. But since then, it's just been Tetra Compass farming, finishing up all of the Red Rum Relics 2 collections that I have open. And, you know, with double XP on the way, it's a good time to start the farming products again. In particular, I'm doing multiple times a day, herb runs, primal extract, poison slime, and papaya.
You got your ranch animals going, Shane?
Ranch animals? Which ones?
Any of them. I need animals in my ranch because of double XP coming. I want everything full up.
My ranch is set up to produce dragon manure and a slow run of zygomites, as in just have the zygomites in the medium pens, and if they breed one, then that's good. And I'm not even using food for them. I'm not even keeping them fed. And, you know, I get, you know, a zygomite every 2 or 3 days on that. So
What do you got in Anachronia?
I don't have anything in Anachronia right now, except for the frogs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. What I should probably have is I should probably have some of the, I think it's the Beaksnot one, or maybe it's the Spark Chitin one. I don't remember which one. But given the way Power Burst go, I think it's one of those two that you probably want to sell around this time. But I know that the Poison Slime is always good. I mean,
yeah,
it's basically
I want to make sure I get that XP. So, guys, get your farms ready for DXP.
Spirit Trees too, Elder Trees.
Yeah, Spirit Trees, yep.
Elder Trees, all that fun stuff, so... That's what I've been up to, and, you know, it's fun to do those farming runs. Take them from 5 minutes up to 20 minutes now in doing that, just because I've added so much to them. So that's, you know, a nice little distraction a couple times a day.
You have to be keeping a list, man.
No, I do it all from my head.
Really?
Yeah. I know that's surprising, but it's all from my head. There was one point last year when I was going for 120 farming, or was that last year at some point? Maybe it was after I was going for 120 farming. I actually forgot one of the fruit tree patches.
You did.
I did.
Monster.
But anyways, that's pretty much it for this episode of RSB&B Update. I think we're good to call it quits at that. We'll be back next week, of course, to discuss the lore of Curid Et and the preservers with the final Mystery Post 99. So that should be good fun. But if you want to subscribe to the podcast, you can find that on any podcast listener, Apple, Google, Spotify, Pocket Cast, Stitcher, practically anything. Just visit update.rsbnb.com/subscribe. And we'll be back next week for another episode of RSBNB Update. Take care, everyone.
Bye, everyone.